Monday, March 30th, Romo Seltzer brings you Vox Pop, the voice of the people, conducted tonight by Parks Johnson and Warren Hull. This evening, Vox Pop is broadcasting direct from the largest home for sailors in the entire world, the Seaman's Church Institute at 25 South Street in New York City. Now, we have a tremendous crowd here, seamen of Uncle Sam's Merchant Marine and seamen of the Merchant Marine of our allies, brave civilian soldiers fresh off tankers and freighters carrying vital war supplies to the men on our fighting fronts. And here's a cheer from the men of the Merchant Marine. Okay, Fox, you're on deck.
Okay, Annie, and folks, we all know you don't have to tell the Merchant Marine to keep them sailing. They are really doing a job at that. Well, our first young man is about 27 or 8 years old. He's wearing a British uniform. I'm not quite sure whether it's a Navy, but we'll find that out in a minute. Folks, we want you to know Frank Darrington. Mighty glad to have you with us tonight.
I'm glad to be here myself, sir.
Yes, sirree. What is this uniform?
I'm a purser in the Naval Transport.
Is that the Royal Navy, the transport section?
The Royal Naval Transport.
Get a little bit closer. We want them to hear you all the way to England, if possible. What do those three gold stripes on your sleeves mean?
They mean that I bear the rank of ship's purser.
Well, in our Navy, what would that be equivalent to, would you say?
Equal to a lieutenant, sir.
Full lieutenant?
Yes.
Okay. Are you married?
Yes, sir.
Any children?
I've got one.
Boy, girl?
Boy.
How old?
3.5 years old now.
How long since you've seen him?
3 years.
You mean 3 years?
Yes.
You mean he was just about 6 months old when you saw him last?
Just about 6 months old when I was at home last.
Well, look, had he learned to say Dada or Mama when you left, huh?
Well, he was just beginning to mutter a few words to that effect, yes.
Did you think it was Dada?
Well, it may have been.
It may have been, huh?
Yeah.
Has he got light hair and blue eyes or what?
He's got blue eyes and blonde hair.
You know that, huh? Of course,
yes.
You've gotten pictures.
Oh, yes.
Well, now, what are you doing in New York, Frank?
Well, I came over here on a ship.
Yes.
And I was taken ill on this ship.
Uh-huh.
And transferred to the Long Island College Hospital.
Yes. You got to rest a little while?
Yes, I went in hospital for 3.5 weeks.
Yes.
And now I'm going up to Connecticut for 2 months vacation.
See, that's fine, but is that a result of your strenuous sea experiences?
No, it is the result of my experiences through Dunkirk.
You in Dunkirk?
Yes.
You're helping rescue the men there?
No, I was in the Army at Dunkirk.
In the Army? And now in the Navy?
Yes.
Well, say, tell me, this Dunkirk, you were wounded there, were you not?
Yes, I was wounded very badly. I lost half my face and my left eye.
Well, your face looks very, very nice. Somebody has done a very good job. Are you completely all right on that yet?
Yes, my face feels quite all right.
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, it was due to the marvelous sense of the American doctors and English doctors that did the plastic surgery.
Well, it's awfully nice. Now, look, this rest that you're going to have for about 2 months, that will put you right back on top again, won't it?
That'll put me right back, ready to go back to sea again.
Are you going right back to sea?
Yes, right back to sea.
Have you ever been in the convoys?
I've been in various convoys, yes.
Yeah, you ever been torpedoed?
Torpedoed once.
Once?
Yes.
A lot of excitement around?
Well, various excitements.
No,
but
we
managed to get away quite all right.
Fine. Say, do you think there's any chance of the British Isles being, invaded?
There's no chance whatever, in my estimation, of the British Isles being invaded.
Why do you say that?
Because the shores of England are well nigh impregnable.
You really believe that?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And all other Britishers believe that too, huh?
I hope so.
Oh, yes, indeed. Well, you should know, because you've been there. Now, one last thing here. After the war, what are you going to do?
Well, if I settle down, which I very much doubt...
Yes?
I should very much like to settle in Long Island.
You would?
Yes.
You like it, huh?
I do.
With the wife and the son?
Yes.
Well, now, we have checked around among some of your buddies, Frank, and we find that you're a very good horseman. Is that right? You like to ride?
That's right, sir.
So, Bromo Seltzer has for you tonight two things. First, a pair of nice riding breeches to use on this convalescence that you're going to have. And, of course, riding breeches that are no good without a nice pair of Russian leather boots. How about it?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mike. I'm mighty glad to have you.
And now, before our next interview, Ennis Chappell has a question that he would like to ask.
I sure have, Parks, and here it is.
Friends, if you were out driving and you got a flat tire and the spark plug started missing, your gas gave out, you wouldn't just fill the gas tank and let it go at that. Well, then, why, when your head aches and your stomach's upset and your nerves are on edge, why take something that merely relieves the pain in your head and may do little or nothing for your nerves and stomach? A sensible way to fight jumpy nerves and upset stomach due to headache is with Bromo Seltzer. For this famous preparation has a remarkable three-way action. Not only does it bring swift relief from headache pains, it also helps calm jumpy nerves, help settle upset stomach. Ah, but shucks, there's only one way to know what quick, effective relief Bromo Seltzer gives, and that's to try it. So the next time you're suffering from these miseries, take a Bromo Seltzer and see what a difference it makes when you fight headache not one, but three ways. Okay, Park.
Good, Annie. And folks, I'm sorry that my partner, Wally Butterworth, is sick tonight, but we have a swell fella pinch hitting for him. He's a man that you've seen in the movies, on the stage, and on the radio. Warren Hull. And Warren, we're glad to have you with us.
Thank you, Park. Thank you very much, and thank you, men down there. And ladies, too. We have here, beside me, a husky sailor. And he's the sort of fellow I'd like to have on my side come any little mix-up. Huh? What's your name, sailor?
Arthur Montaigne.
Arthur Montaigne. What's your nickname?
Boston Blackie.
Ah, folks, meet Boston Blackie. Blackie, how old are you?
36.
A perfect 36. Where's your home?
I was born in Brooklyn, but I live in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Oh, that's your draft board?
My draft board's in Wilmington, North Carolina.
I see. How did you happen to go to sea, Blackie?
Well, I used to walk across the Brooklyn Bridge. I wonder where all those ships were going. I found out.
Well, how long have you been a sailor?
20 years.
20 years? All over the seven seas, huh?
All over the seven seas.
Well, that's a lot of water past the bridge, isn't it? What's your rating, Blackie?
Well, I sail quartermaster.
What are the duties of a quartermaster?
Well, he steers the ship.
Oh, well, you mean you don't have to polish all that brass?
Well, we used to, but since the war, we just paint it over now. We don't have to polish it.
Oh, well, then life is really a picnic with you, huh?
Yeah, we don't have anything to do but dodge torpedoes.
Nothing to do but dodge torpedoes. What kind of a ship are you on, Blackie?
Well, I'm on a tanker.
A tanker, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Any particular company?
Hey, a Gulf Oil company.
Gulf Oil plug.
Thanks for the plug, then. I'm still working, I hope.
When was your last trip, Blackie?
I got in last week. Tuesday, to be exact.
And you're going out again soon, huh?
Very soon.
Say, tell me one thing. You merchant marine fellows don't wear uniforms, do you?
No, I wish we did, though.
Why?
Well, I was coming down the subway, and I heard a couple of people say, look at all these young fellows in civilian clothes. Slackers.
Oh, really?
I've been in the war zone five times. I don't think I'm a coward, only in front of this microphone here.
Well, that's
I'm
all right.
Scared stiff.
You're scared? Well, what do you think I am? Now, Blackie, I can tell you I'm sure that all of the people in this country, when they realize that what you sailors are doing, if they stop to think of it, they know doggone well you don't have any uniforms on.
Well,
but
we
you're
get
doing
some,
your bit.
We get some of them invitations to free lunches, too, you mean?
See if we can arrange something with them. You've been sailing for a long time, Blackie. Could you tell me the most interesting thing that ever happened to you at sea?
Well, I guess the night that we saw the Flying Dutchman.
You saw the Flying Dutchman?
Go ahead and laugh.
Do you mean to tell me you saw it?
The whole crew saw it.
They did?
In fact, there's a witness right here tonight. I didn't know he was here. I haven't seen him in, about 8 years.
Well, I'll take it from you. You saw it then, brother.
He's sitting right in the third row over there. He was one of the crew. Shorty Wilson.
Oh, that's wonderful. Hi, Shorty. Listen, did you see any other mirage?
Well, about 2 days out of New York, we picked up the buoys in the harbor.
You mean you saw New York?
A mirage.
A mirage? You saw the buoys?
The boat and the buoy.
Did you see the girls in the battery?
Well, wasn't that good a mirage?
Have you ever had the chance to be a hero, Blackie?
Yes, once. I saved the whole crew to Tuscarora.
You did? How?
I shot the cook. that, chum?
That chow must have been something. Well, man, that's really a prize story. And the makers of Bromo Seltzer want me to present you with a couple of prizes, Blackie. Here it is right here. Bring it out here. A very snappy Easter bonnet. Very snappy Easter bonnet.
Why need one?
Blackie, I hope that you have a chance. I hope that you'll be here Easter Sunday morning. Put it on. Go ahead. Put it on. That a boy. I hope you're here Easter Sunday morning to wear it, walking up and down Fifth Avenue. And we have one more thing here, too. A 16-millimeter movie camera.
I'm kind of glad I came over.
Thank you very much, Boston Blackie, Arthur Montaigne. And now, Parks, take it over.
Okay, Warren, I'll do that. Folks, it's really an inspiration to meet and talk with such Americans as our next guest. His name is Alexander Navarro. Alexander, where's your home?
Home is in the Bronx, sir.
How old are you?
I'm 23.
Got any brothers and sisters?
Oh, yeah, plenty of them.
Is that right? How many is plenty?
Well, eight.
Eight or eight? The nine of you in the family, huh?
Yep, and the oldest of nine.
I understand that you were a seaman on a ship that was torpedoed.
That's right, sir.
Well, before I ask you about that, tell me, how did you happen to choose the sea as a career?
Well, father was a Navy man, and I guess it's in the blood.
Gets in the blood, doesn't
That's
it?
That's right.
Once on the sea, it looks like it's pretty hard. Well, when did you go to sea?
Oh, about 2 years ago.
In 1940 sometime?
1940, yes.
And what was your job on that first voyage? What kind of a...
Well, that's a funny incident, sir.
Yeah?
I signed on as a wiper, and passing the Statue of Liberty to sign out with a fireman short. Father fireman.
Yeah?
Got over to France, and water attendant gets sick, and I'm a water attendant.
That's what was a promotion, huh?
Yeah.
Three jobs on one trip.
That's right, sir.
Well, now, you were torpedoed, I said. When was that?
That was a year ago, last Easter Sunday.
Easter Sunday?
Yes.
Just about a year ago.
Right.
Can you tell us where?
Yes, it was about 300 miles south of Iceland.
That's a rough country there, rough water
well,
to be torpedoed
yeah.
in, isn't it?
I wouldn't want to go swimming there.
You No. Well, did you swim or were you in a lifeboat?
I was in a lifeboat, sir.
How many in there with you?
10 others beside myself, out there for 13 days.
13 days. Well, did you have plenty of food and water with you?
Well, plenty of food, but none that we would want to eat.
Why? What is trouble?
Well, you start to chew food, you want to wash it down.
Well, didn't you have any water?
Well, we had some, but that was rationed out pretty thick. We had a cup of water for 4 men.
Per day?
Per day, right.
That would just give you a sip every now and then, and not much of a sip, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Fourth well, man didn't get much of a sip.
I bet whoever was in charge of that boat was a pretty good scout, though, because he wasn't taking any chances, was he?
That's right.
Well, now, tell me, Alexander, did all of you get safely to Iceland out of that boatload of 11 of you?
Well, yes and no.
Yes and no.
We all got to Iceland all right, and some of us didn't come out of it so good.
Tell me about that, will you?
Yeah, well, three of us, including myself, lost 2 legs.
Three of you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Captain lost one.
Yeah.
And Lex Ridden lost one.
They're out of the boat of them.
Out of the boat of them.
And
one died.
And one died out of them. Well, now, that was a terrible experience. I'd like to ask you a straight question. I don't know, but I believe I'll ask it. Do you have any regrets?
Well, no regrets. I'd go back again if I could.
You would?
Yes.
And what are your plans now?
Well, I'm going to study radio.
What kind of radio?
Technical radio. Repair. Stuff.
And I know you'll be a good one, and I hope that when you get through with your studies that you'll get a job right away. Now, Alexander, I just want to say to the audience, not to you, that I meant what I said in the beginning, that we're proud to talk to such men of the Merchant Marine. You are the men who don't get the headlines, but you do carry a load. And we appreciate having you with us. Bromo Seltzer wants me to give you, at this point, 2 things that you might be able to use while you're learning to be a radio technician. First is a weekend bag, and second, if you should ever get in the water again, is a wristwatch that's waterproof. And thank you very much, Alexander Navarro.
Can you use them?
Use them, all right.
Okay, and thank you very much. All right, Warren. Come in.
Thank you, Fox. And I have here a handsome young sailor of a different nationality, whose name is Jorgen Bayschmidt. Jorgen? What's your age, Jorgen?
I'm 19 years old.
19. And your home?
My home is in Denmark, in Copenhagen.
Were you born there?
No, I was born in Greenland and went home to Denmark for the school when I was 8 years old.
Well, where did you learn to speak English, Jorgen?
I learned to speak English in the school in Denmark. Every boys and girl in Denmark learn to speak English there.
Well, that's fine. We're glad to hear that. What are you doing here in New York?
I'm going in the navigation school here in the institute.
How long is the course, Jorgen?
That's about 8-9 weeks.
Was that all?
Yes.
I'll bet you crammed during that course, huh? What will your rating be when you finish?
A third mate.
A third mate? Well,
yes.
You'll be getting up in the world. Jorgen, I see that you have a brand new accordion here. How long have you had it?
I have just had it a week. I lost my other one on a shipwreck.
A shipwreck? Well, we won't ask you. We know better than to ask you where that happened or when it happened. But you played then, evidently, before. You played for your shipmates and so on?
Sure, I do. I used to play for my friend on board there.
Well, you must know lots of Danish folk tunes and things like that.
Yes, sure, I do.
Well, will you play for us?
Sure, I'll be glad.
Well, you strap that on, then. All right, it's all yours, Jorgen Bayschmidt. He has to take the harness off. Thank you for that beautiful Danish folk song, Jorgen Bayschmidt. And now, the makers of Bromo Seltzer want me to present you with a couple of gifts in appreciation for your coming here and talking with us tonight. The first one is a four-piece suit. That's with an extra pair of trousers, and we won't be able to get them for long. And with the suit are all the accessories. There are shoes, socks, shirts, ties, handkerchiefs. And, Jorgen, just a friendly little tip from me. If you'll look in one of the pockets of the suit, you'll find a little pin money. Aha. Oh, I almost forgot. We have a little extra dividend for you, too, in case you ever get back to Greenland again, some long flannel underwear. All right, thank you very much, Jorgen Bayschmidt. And now, Ernest Chappell, please.
Thank you, Warren. Right now, friends, I want you to hear a letter from the wife of a man who has a job that's almost as tough as work in the Merchant Marine. She's Mrs. John C. Weiler of Newark, New Jersey, and she writes...
My husband has a very strenuous job, and one that involves a great deal of nervous strain. He works with sheet metal, doing skylighting, air conditioning, and so forth. There are times when he comes home after a hard day feeling tired and headachy and upset from the strain of his work. And whenever that happens, he takes Bromo Seltzer. It makes him feel so much better, and he never has to lose a day's work.
And now, get this, everybody.
He's been using Bromo Seltzer for 47 years now, and we both think it's wonderful.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Weiler. We Vox Poppers all think Bromo Seltzer's pretty swell, too. And we hope all you listeners will try Bromo Seltzer the next time you get a headache. Of course, if you have persistent or recurring headaches, then you should see your doctor. But when it comes to those common splicket headaches most of us get now and then, just you try Bromo Seltzer and see what a difference it makes. All right, Parks, who's the next man from the Merchant Marine?
Okay, Ernie, the next man is a sailor with 34 years on the briny deep, and he looks to me good for 34 more. Folks, Charles O. Jackson. Mr. Jackson, I notice that after your name are the initials A.B., that's not a college degree, is it?
It's not a Bachelor of Bart.
What is it?
It's Able Seaman.
Able Seaman?
That's right.
You've sailed the briny deep many years, as I say.
Yes,
if you sailed
As bosun at any time, or... What? How?
Well, an A.B. is a bosun. A bosun is a leading seaman, but they're all A.B.'s.
I see. That's top class, huh?
That's right.
Where's your family, Mr.?
I have no family.
No family at all?
No, sir.
You're not married?
Not married.
What? Didn't you ever think of it, Mr. Jackson, huh?
Well, I'm thinking of it today.
Oh, you are? Got anything to do with spring, or are you serious about that?
Serious. Very serious.
Had we better drop it, or should we pursue that a little bit?
No, we better drop it.
Better drop it. All right. You were in the World War, I believe.
That's right.
Tell me something about it. What were you in? What were you doing?
I joined the British Navy as a Canadian.
Oh, you did? That's a spunky thing to do. Catch you?
No, they haven't caught me yet.
You did all right on it. What was the most exciting job that you did during the World War?
The most exciting job is the blockade of Zeebrugge on April the 23rd, 1918.
You have anything to do with that?
I was in the leading ship going into Zeebrugge.
You were?
Yes, sir.
That's a coincidence. You know, of course, you've been reading the papers that right now a similar job has been done over in Saint-Nazaire in France. Or was it similar?
It was similar, but more dangerous so.
How's that?
Well, we loaded a ship with explosive and took her into Zeebrugge and blew her up.
While you were still on the ship?
While we were still on the vessel.
Did you get hurt?
Oh, yes.
Much?
I laid in the hospital for 14 months.
You were rescued, of course.
I was rescued, yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Well, you've been everywhere and seen everything. That was the most exciting, huh?
That is the most exciting experience that I've ever had.
Well, brother, that is something that to have been through and come out alive is really, really marvelous, because I know you had to volunteer to do a job like that, didn't you?
It was all volunteer, or what we call the suicide club.
And you really expect, did you expect to get out of it?
No.
You really didn't?
No.
That's the kind of stuff that these sailors are made out of, folks. Well, you've been everywhere and seen everything, I know. What people do you happen to like particularly? I won't say best, but particularly.
Well, I have great respect for the Australian people. Their hospitality to American people is wonderful.
Yes.
And I've just come back from Greenland now, and I find that the people of Greenland are the Eskimos, rather, are the most wonderful people in the world. They're always smiling, happy, and they just have a mere existence of life.
Well, that's interesting from a man who's been all over. And one last thing here, briefly. Do the lights on shore up and down the Atlantic, do they help the enemy submarines?
In my opinion, very much so.
You know, of course, that they're all being backed out up and down. I just wondered if they, from an old sailor, if they did help a lot. They do.
They should be blocked out ashore.
You going to see again soon?
Right soon. This week, I hope.
Well, could you use 6 cartons of cigarettes on that ship?
Yes, sir.
You could?
Very.
Well, Bromo Seltzer wants you to have those, and we noticed that you'd like to... One other little present here that one of your friends, you live here at the Institute, I know, said you'd like, is a very heavy signet ring engraved on the inside from Vox Pop to you. I hope it fits you, and thank you very much, Mr. Jackson. Glad it had you. Okay, Warren Hull, come in.
Thank you, Park Johnson. I have here with me a red-headed sailor who, well, he looks more like a businessman than a sailor. His name is Leslie Kennerly. What's your age, Leslie?
35.
And your home?
London.
London?
Yes.
Well, by the way, now, before we go any further, you tell me, who has the accent, you or me?
Why, you. I'm an Englishman. I speak English.
Yeah, me with my Western New Yorkese. Leslie, have you seen any of the London blitzes?
Oh, rather. I was 9 months in the War Reserve Police. I saw all the blitzes, and one instance I saw where the bomber came over there and the Spitfire was after her and just zoomed up and turned around onto her and just gave her all she had, and the wing of the bomber just fell off and the tumbled down to the ground. And the 2 parachutes opened out and the 2 Nazis just dropped down.
Where did the bomber fall?
Oh, it fell right on one of our main stations, on Victoria Station.
On Victoria? Well, that's just like having one fall on Grand Central here.
Well, let's hope it doesn't happen.
Yes, we do. What's your job at sea now?
Oh, chief steward.
Chief steward, what do you have to do?
Well, I have to arrange all the food and the menus for the cook to do, and also buy all the provisions and see that all accommodations kept clean. You know, general sort of housekeeping sort of thing.
Oh, you'd be a prize for some woman.
Oh, I say I need be. I have a wife there that can't cook, so...
Oh, you have a wife who can't cook?
Yes.
She's lucky to have you. Well, you must be one of the lucky ones. You haven't been torpedoed, huh?
Oh, yes. Yes, I have. Once.
Once? Only once?
And it's enough, I'll tell you.
It must be. How did it happen?
Oh, we just came out of port and we're just going along nicely when we heard a warning that we could sighted a submarine. So the alarm went and we dropped everything and grabbed our bits of kit that we have, taken the lifeboats, run up on the boat deck.
What does that kit consist of?
Well, it's one suit, is a pair of trousers and a jacket, kind of a blouse affair made of oilskin where you put it on, supposed to shield you from any icy winds. And the other one is a hood made of asbestos with a mica front, so you can see through to keep the flames from you.
Oh, that's
the
a good
idea. The cargo catches on fire, see?
Good idea. Well, did you get off in the boats all right?
Well, we had some difficulty because the ship was going about 16 knots, you see, and the first torpedo came in the engine room and flooded the engine room. Of course, she was going down. We got one of the... Well, all the boats got away, but one of them, the one I was in, we had trouble in getting it from off the ship's side. When we did get away, we had to go back for the wireless operator. But then we had difficulty in getting away, which eventually we did get away, and we kept rowing into the smoke and couldn't get out of the smoke and the flames. But eventually we got out of there, and through a couple of hours of struggling, we managed to get clear of it.
Oh, and then you were rescued.
Yes, a couple of planes came over about 2 days after, and they signaled to an American tanker that was coming down. They picked us up and did us well.
Well, we're certainly glad to have you with us here tonight. And as an expression of our gratitude for your coming up here and talking to us, the makers of Bromo Seltzer want to present you with a fitted leather shaving kit.
Oh, thanks so much.
It'll make you look thick and fast.
Thank you.
And in it is a little bottle of Bromo Seltzer.
Oh, well, I see no more headaches for me, then.
No. Also, a Remington Universal portable typewriter. It's a beauty. Now, Les, we have one little extra thing that we'd like to do for you. The makers of Bromo Seltzer are going to make it possible for you to send the cable prepaid to your wife in London. Where's that Western Union boy? Oh, right here.
You Americans think of everything, eh?
Now, Leslie, will you go ahead and just tell the Western Union boy what you want that cable to consist of?
Mrs. Leslie Kennelly, 17 Regent's Park Road, London, Northwest 1. Hello, darling. I'm having a fine time here. Only wish you were with me. Keep smiling, and I'll be home soon. Love, Leslie.
I'm sure she'll be thrilled to receive that cable, Leslie.
Yes.
Thank you very, very much, and good luck to you.
Thank you indeed.
Keep them sailing.
Thank you.
All right, Bart.
Okay, Warren. Folks, we've got time for a very short interview with an additional man tonight. There's a man that I've been very happy to meet here. He's born Norwegian, but he's been an American a long, long time, and he was on a torpedoed ship very recently. Tell us your name.
My name is Jan Forsdahl.
Jan Forsdahl?
Forsdahl.
Where do you live, Mr. Forsdahl?
San Francisco.
San Francisco. I saw your picture in Life and in the paper here recently. You were torpedoed about a month ago, were you not?
I think so, yes.
You think so?
I know you were.
Yes, sir. You can't think about a thing like that. Yeah. I'd just like to ask you one question. When you were swimming around, by the way, there were only two off of your tanker who were rescued, is that right?
Right.
When you were swimming around in that heavy oil, I understand 2 or 3 hours, what were you thinking about?
I was thinking of my kid.
Your kid?
Yeah, well, my boy, Pinky.
Oh, that's his name, Pinky, huh? How old is Pinky?
Well, he will be 11 years old, but you know.
Well, what were you thinking about Pinky?
Well, when I was swimming in that oil there, I was thinking that if Pinky saw me now, he would say, Daddy John, you're awfully dirty.
Oh, gee whiz. Are you going back to sea anytime soon?
Oh, I guess so, yes.
Yeah, really?
Oh, yes. When I get a week off now.
When you get a week off. Well, we wish you a lot of luck, and you've been torpedoed how many times?
Yes, the third time.
Third time? Ooh, man. Well, now...
That's twice in the last war, though.
Oh, twice in the last war.
They were gentlemen that time.
That's right. Miss Fordell, we are awfully happy to have had you with us. Can you use a nice portable radio? Bromo Seltzer wants you to have it.
Good idea.
Thank you very much. Okay, Ernest Chaplin.
Friends, the next time you're suffering from a headache, stomach all upset, nerves all on edge, don't suffer needlessly. Take a Bromo Seltzer.
Use it only as directed on the label. Do try this famous preparation that has brought millions such quick, effective relief from these headache miseries. Compare Bromo-Seltzer's three-way action with anything you've ever taken, and see if you don't agree with us that when it comes to headache, there's just nothing better than Bromo-Seltzer. Okay, Pop.
Folks, next week, Vox Pop will broadcast direct from one of the most thrilling places in the entire country, our great United States Military Academy at West Point. And we're going to hear all about the life there from the cadets themselves.
And don't forget Bromo-Seltzer's great mystery program, Ellery Queen, heard every Thursday on the West Coast, every Saturday in the East.
And as we leave the Seaman's Church Institute of New York City, Vox Pop salutes the brave seamen who comprise the merchant marine of our country and of our allies. We all owe them a debt of gratitude beyond measure.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.